Whose words matter more to you than God's? Whose words mean more to you than God's words mean to you? Because at the start of this journey, Gideon was in a place where the words of other people in his life mattered more than God's words. And we see that when Gideon found a place of freedom from the fear, he went on to do great things for God. But at the start of the journey, he was terrified. And he was afraid, and what defined his life were the words that other people spoke over him. I want to ask you this morning, church, what have people spoken over you that holds you back? Think about it. What words today limit you? I think there's some great dreamers in this room. I look around our church family and I see some people, and I even see some of the guests I got to greet on the door this morning. I see the calling and purpose of God over you. But some of us, we are holding back out of fear about what someone else is going to say. And I want to ask you the question, do you think that God's words over you may mean a little more than their words? Because I think when the Lord starts speaking life, we've got to start internalizing it. Some of us, we believe the wrong narrative because of the words of others. And so we've just got to ask ourselves, who is it in my life? Maybe it's my friends or my boss. Maybe it was a teacher when I was in school. Maybe it was my family. Whoever it is, you've got to, if the words that they're speaking do not line up with the words the Lord has spoken, we've got to learn to reject the words of others, because we're not going to be contained by the fear of man. The amazing thing in Gideon's life and his journey is that Gideon finds himself in a place where he receives the revelation and he finds faith that God is who he says he is. He goes on this journey with the Lord, and then suddenly he realizes, he's like, whoa, this is real. He starts believing in the words of the Lord, in the promises of God. He has faith in who God is. And do you know the first thing that happens when he gets faith in who God is? God commands him to do something. I want us to look at it in Judges 6, 25 and 26. It says, that same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So we can start to understand why Gideon was living in fear. Because in his hometown, where they should have been worshiping the Lord, there were these strongholds, there were these altars up to false gods. And these altars that were created, once he gets the faith that God is who he says he is, the Lord says, the first thing you need to do is tear down the altars. I was praying this week as I was thinking about the message, this fear of man message. Do you know what I felt challenged by? Can we go there this morning, church? I need your permission. I felt God show me that some of us worship Jesus on a Sunday morning, and then return to the altar of our boss and the opinion they have of us on a Monday morning. Because we'll go in, we'll say, Lord, I give you everything, but what do you say about me? And so we set up like a shrine. And we say, okay, family, parents, I know the Lord is saying this, but what do you say about me? And how do I know that? Because we let their words define us. Because if the Lord's word defines you, I'm not saying we should dishonor these people. I want you to lift them up. I want you to honor them. I want you to say to take care of them. I want you to pray for them. But what I don't want you to do is to fear the words and allow them to contain you. And what some of us have done is we've said, well, my friends live this way. I know what God's saying here. And we're weighing it up as if it's even a decision. We're saying like, okay, the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, has spoken life over me, courage over me, peace over me, joy over me, and then someone said something mean about me, and so I'm going to listen to this. What are we doing? Why? Because it is not just words. We've set them up at a place that is powerful in our lives. We have given power to the opinions of others, and we've allowed their opinions to shape our lives. And let me tell you, church, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. But I want to show you how I felt God show me a few years ago how to deal with this. Because I had a time where I was really wrestling through the fear of the opinion of others. I was limited by it. I was afraid. And I wouldn't have told you I was afraid. But God showed me that I was living to impress other people instead of to worship him. I had the wrong motives. I was often doing the right thing with the wrong motive. And here's what I learned. I want to give you something, a tool that you can use this week. If you feel the lies of the enemy or the opinions of others trying to contain you, I want to give you the but God method. I want to give you the but God method. Let me show you how this worked in my life. When I had times and seasons when I felt like I wasn't enough. I felt like I wasn't, and I'd feel the lies of the enemy. You haven't got what it takes. Or often would ask a question, do you really think you've got what it takes to lead in this church? Do you really think you're qualified enough? Do you really think that you are able to do this? And here's what I started to do when those things came my way. I started to say, yeah, maybe you're right. That by myself, in my own strength, with my own wisdom, maybe I don't have what it takes. But God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than I could. But God has strengthened me. But God gives me wisdom. But God gives me. For some of us, you're in the room today, and you've got the opinions of others, and you're afraid of the future. You don't know where you're going. And I think there's some people today, you're stuck in addiction. You're stuck in a place of addiction, and the enemy comes and he says, are you ever going to come through this? And you say, by myself, no. But God is able. But God is able. Some of us, we are paralyzed by insecurities and fears in our life. And you say, yeah, maybe by myself, that's right. But God is able to bring freedom and healing into my life. For some of us today, we've got to realize that by yourself, you can't do it. Some of us, we've been trying to, listen to me, you're tired because you've been trying to do it by yourself. You've been trying to overcome by yourself. You've been trying in your own efforts and energy to make your way through this thing called life. And listen to me, you can't do it by yourself. But when you allow God to show up and do something powerful in your life, it changes your whole perspective. It changes your whole approach to how you're going to approach the difficult times. When fear comes knocking, when the fear of man comes knocking, you say, maybe that's true by myself, but God. Because even Gideon had that but God moment. He said by himself he was afraid. But he found the courage, not in his own abilities. Maybe he even still thought he was the weakest in his family, in the weakest clan in Manasseh. Maybe he still thought, but what he realized was, but when God is with me, who can be against me? So when the Lord called him, he stepped out of his fear and took hold of the courage within him. And as the Lord prophesied into him, the strength within him, and he started to do the things that God had called him to do. But God. Let's keep moving. Judges 6. I want to show you how we're finding freedom from the fear of man today. Let's go. Judges 6, 27. It says, so Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. I want to show you. Gideon found 10 people to go with him who had the same vision as he had. Sometimes you've got to get around people who are going to call out your potential and speak life into you. See, I think maybe if Gideon went by himself, he wouldn't have made it. The Lord spoke, and he spoke life, and he starts to get courage, and he's like, okay, we're going to tear down the Asherah poles. But he needed some people alongside him who were going to speak life into him along the journey. Because maybe Gideon would have got halfway through the job, and he said, I can't do this. But someone was next to him saying, we've got this. We're going to take down every single one of them and construct a new altar to the Lord. We're gonna go and do something that no one's ever... See, you need some people alongside you who are going to speak life into you. Can I encourage you, if you're attending this church, find a way into a serve team. Because when you get alongside other people who are speaking life into you, it is a powerful thing. It is a life-giving thing. Some of us, we need to get into life with other people, because you're going to be able to step into the freedom and the promise that God has for you when you find people. Because some of us, we're spending all of our time with people who are speaking negatively into our lives, who drain the life out of us. And then you try and keep going, and you're dragging yourself along. Like, oh my gosh, can I keep going? Let me tell you how you can keep going. Get people around you who are going to speak life into you, who are going to speak courage into you. Because you're going to need courage for the journey ahead. You're going to need people in your corner cheering you on when life gets tough. So do you have those people who are in your corner? Let's come towards the close of the message today. Judges 6:32. Says, now they construct they tear down the Asherah poles and the altars of Baal. And let me just pause on this. Here's something I love that they do. They take the lies and the things from the enemy, and they use those to build that very same altar. Some of us, we've got to let the lies of the enemy fuel the Lord's work in us. Because you're going to take the very things that the enemy was trying to contain you in, and you say, but I'm going to take these, and I'm going to construct an altar by saying, but God, I'm going to believe for more. But they take this, and then the people of the town come out, and they freak out. It's like, who did this? Who took down the altar of Baal and the Asherah poles? Who did this? And then they point to Gideon. And Gideon, the terrified guy in the wine press, is stood there with courage. And here's what they say. So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerubbaal that day, saying, let Baal contend with him. Let Baal contend with him. See, it's the towns. I just want to show you something quick. Gideon did not rename himself. I don't think Gideon had the hubris or the pride to say, let Baal contend with me. That's not what's happening here. He still knew who he was. He was Gideon. He was the same guy that God found in the wine press. Gideon knew his story. But the people around him saw his testimony and said, something happened here. And so the people around him, they started to refer to him differently. They said, let Baal contend with this one. Listen to me. Some of you in the room today, the Lord, right now, you are in the middle of writing out your testimony. They're going to look to you and say, let fear contend with this one. Let depression contend with this one. Let greed contend with this one, because they overcame it. Let addiction contend with this one. Now, we're not going to put ourselves in that place. We're not going to try and go and fight against the Lord. No, against the enemy. We're going to be in submission to the Lord. Say, this is your battle. But the people around him, they didn't have that whole revelation. But what they did see is something's happened. Something's happened to this one that shifted. And the whole town. See, it wasn't just Gideon's testimony anymore. It became the town's testimony. They said, let Baal contend. See, if we're going to overcome fear and the fear of man in your life, and the fear of the opinions of others, there is a testimony. Some of you, let me remind someone, God's done it before. Some of you, you need to remember, maybe it's your first time in church. You've never followed Jesus, believed in God before. I want to tell you, he's brought you to this point. He's faithful. Some of you, you know God's faithfulness. You've seen him do it before. And right now, you're in a season where it feels overwhelming. I want to remind you, if he's done it before, he can do it again. That he is more than able to come through and lead you into freedom. Anza, can you come and join me on the stage? I didn't prep you. It's always Anza. The guys on the band are saying. All right. I want to show you something about the fear of man. We read earlier that the Bible says the fear of man is like a snare. It's like a trap. And I want to help you to see, what did Gideon do? Because if Anza wants to go over, try and walk in this direction. The fear of man is going to, it's going to hold him. It's going to be a trap for him. It's going to be a snare for him. But I want to show you that faith is going to release the fear of man's hold in your life. Faith is going to release. So what do we do in faith? Well, the first thing Gideon did was, the first thing that released it was he started to have faith that God is who he says he is. And some of us, we've got to start reminding ourselves that God is. That's why we encourage you. Don't just come to Sunday to hear about the Bible. Read it for yourself. There's some good stuff in there. It's going to grow your faith to see who God is. And then he starts to believe in God's promises over his life. That when God calls him out, he can start to step into the promises of God. And guess what's happening? I still got a bit. See, here's sometimes where we go wrong. You get faith and believe in God's promises on a Sunday morning. But then the Asherah poles are still up in our life. The altars are still up and they're still constructed. And so the next thing that Gideon then did was he had to tear down the Asherah pole, tear down the altars. We have to go to work at rejecting the fear of the opinion of other people in our life. We say, I'm not living for them. Do you know what the Bible teaches us to do? It says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ Jesus. So when the thoughts of fear come knocking at your door, when the thoughts of the opinions of others come knocking on your door, you say, hey, in Jesus, I take you captive in Jesus' name. I bind you to Christ. You were put on the cross. I reject you. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I am in him. I am a son or daughter of the living God. And you start to sit more peacefully. You say, okay, I'm tearing down the Asherah poles. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to get involved with a serve team. I'm going to join a small group. I'm getting other people around me to remind me. How many of you know, sometimes we just need a reminder more than a revelation. We need someone to come alongside us and say, hey, come on now. Let's keep going in this journey direction. Let's keep walking in this way. That's half the reason I come to church. I just need a reminder. I need a reminder of God's goodness. I need a reminder. I've got other people around me cheering me on. Sometimes we feel isolated. I've talked to people before. Yeah, I feel isolated. Well, come to church, man. Just be around God's people. They're going to cheer you on the journey. We're going to, and then Revelation 12 says that we overcome the enemy by two things, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so then I'm going to take and I'm going to have the testimony of God. I'm going to remind myself, he's done it before, Josh. He is faithful. He is faithful to his promise. And guess what? The fear, Anza, try and get to the, out! Hey. See, Anza, you can grab a seat. See, here's the thing about the fear of man. The fear of man's hold is released by faith. So I've got to step in and say, Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe that your promises are true. I'm going to tear down the lies of the enemy. I'm going to step into community so I can have people alongside me. And I've got a testimony that by faith, I'm going to see the promise that he has for me. This is a word you need to action in your life. The fear of man doesn't just go away with a prayer. Sorry. I think it's part of it. We Auntie said earlier, we believe in the power of prayer. But you've got to do some tearing down. You've got to step into community. You've got to say, my testimony, I'm going to stand on it. You've got to activate it. But listen to me, church. We are a church. The Lord gave us a prophetic name, Freedom Church. The Lord's wanting to lead you into freedom from fear. And I want to encourage you this week, step in to the freedom that He has for you to see you set free from the fear of man in your life. Can I pray for us? Why don't you close your eyes with me? Jesus, I thank you so much that you have a promise of freedom for us. Lord, that though there may be altars set up to the opinions of others in our lives today, you intend to tear them down, use us to tear them down in our lives. And so I want to just give an opportunity for any of us who would say today, man, my life is dictated by the fear of man, the fear of the opinion of others. I want to pray for us. I want to pray that faith would rise up in your life to believe that God's word is enough for you. And so, with every eye closed, you can respond in whatever way feels comfortable to you. Often in our church, we'll raise our hands, but if it's even just in your heart, where you're just in agreement saying, Lord, that's me, then that's enough. I just want to encourage you in some way to respond to Jesus, because I want to pray for those responding. So just right now, if that's for you, you say, I want freedom from the fear of man today. You just respond in some kind of way that says, yeah, this is for me, Lord. See me. I want freedom. Jesus, I pray for every person responding in this moment. Lord, we believe that you are our freedom, that you are our deliverer, that you are our healer. And Lord Jesus, I pray today that you would instill a confidence, a courage, and a faith in the hearts of every person responding now to pursue you and your promises, to tear down the Asherah poles, to throw themselves into community, and to reflect on their testimony. Lord, I pray that you would come, and even now, in Jesus' name, I come against every lie of the enemy. I rebuke the fear of man in this room today. Say, be gone in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, and we believe your word says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I pray for freedom in this room today.